Good morning. The first verse of our reading this morning that Jenny read to us was Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought the field. Now, looking at commentaries, I found that all these educated men, these men of God that wrote these commentaries, started on a track and realized it came to a dead end. It didn't tie up from beginning to end of these two parables of the treasure in the field and the pearl. So I'm afraid you're going to get what I think it means. And I think it means this, my version. Seeing the field as mankind. Jesus, who possessed nothing. A teacher said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath no place to lay his head." Now this was Jesus demonstrating that he possessed nothing. The only thing Jesus had was his life. But he sold that life with joy. It says, for joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Now Friday afternoon we had songs of praise here. But a great congregation, and it was a good time. And Jonathan spoke a bit about the joy of the Lord. Now, I got my Cruden's commentary out, and I counted references to joy from the Bible. And there was more than 180 of these mentioned. Now, I believe that joy can only be experienced by the people of God, because it's a gift of God given to us. And that's why he mentioned it so much in the Bible, that the joy of the Lord is for his people. Jesus gave his life a ransom for many. The many is the treasure in the field, which is, and which are, you and me. Everyone that's repented and have come to the Lord Jesus and have accepted him into their lives as our Lord and Saviour. Back in Exodus 19:5, God said, "If you will obey me and keep my covenant, then you will be my treasured possession." This, of course, was said to the Jews. So the treasure in the field are those who love the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's my version of that. Now we go on to verse 45 and 46 again. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. The same with the pearl of great value. Jesus sees the church as the pearl of great value, which is everyone who has come to Christ for salvation. 2 Corinthians 8:9 tells us, "For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that we, through his poverty, might become rich." Now, I've just said that Jesus possessed nothing, which was true, he didn't. But Jesus' richness was the fact that he was perfect in every aspect of his life. Yet he became sin. He became the lowest of the low to bear our sin on that cross, so that we might become clean and free. That we might know his freedom, we might know his joy, we might know his power within our lives. Verse 47 tells us, once again the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up onto the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish and put them into baskets and threw the bad ones away. This is how it will be at the end time. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is talking about the end time. All mankind will be gathered. The angels will sort out the redeemed from the rest. The redeemed are those who are Jews and Gentiles. Those who are saved, those that are born again, the redeemed, those that made righteous, those who have been bought by the blood of Christ. But the wicked will be thrown into the fiery furnace, in brackets, hell. Jesus said to them, which were presumably his disciples, "Have you understood all these things?" "Yes," they replied. Come on, my word. I think they were telling fibs, eh? If they could understand, if they could not understand Jesus telling them that he would die and on the third day rise again, I don't really believe they understood. But anyway, it's difficult for us to understand. Verse 52. Jesus said to them, "Therefore, every treasure in the law, every teacher in the law, who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven, is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." What are old treasures? Well, the greatest to me are the Ten Commandments. Did you attend when J. John came to Winchester, and over a period of 10 weeks he went through every commandment, starting at 1 to 10? I thought he was fantastic. And the whole service was. The singers were good as well, down at the cathedral. But we were in the cinema, so we didn't go to the high place, we went to the lower place. The Ten Commandments, I'll just run through them. Number one, you shall have no other God before me. Number two, you shall not make graven images, i.e. idols. Where does a car come in that? We've got to watch it, haven't we, when it comes to these material things. Number three, you shall not take the name of your Lord your God in vain. Now, when I worked in a factory, that was continuous by the majority of people. You did get the odd person that say, "Sorry, I didn't mean to say that," because they knew where you stood concerning the things of the Lord. Number four, keep the Sabbath day holy. Number five, honour your mother and father. This is the first commandment with a promise. Tremendous. Number six, you shall not murder. Number seven, you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, if a man looked on a woman with lust in his heart, he's committed adultery already. Now, what about you ladies? Could you look at a man and... I don't know. Anyway, I'll leave that with you. Number eight, you shall not steal. Number nine, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbour. Number ten, you shall not covet. That house that Mark and Linda's just bought. You know? The laws of our land were based on these, which is fantastic. Hallelujah. But where are they now? They're gradually slipping away, aren't they? With all the modern thought, the things that we've stood for beginning to fade and become other things. What other Old Testament treasures can you think of? I'm sure there's things going through people's hearts and minds now. Of course, there are the Jehovah's. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, Jehovah Reha, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who sees and provides. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals you. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord sends peace. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there, or the Lord is here. Hallelujah, he's here. And then Jehovah Sabaoth, this is great, the Lord of hosts. There's no other power greater than the Lord. Whatever comes against it, whether it's Putin or whoever, God is in control and he's powerful. Are there any other old treasures that are precious to you? Dot said this the other night, God is faithful in all his promises. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Now when Dot and I got married 59 years ago this coming October, we had a wedding telegram. Have you heard of those things, telegrams? We had a wedding telegram that says, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Now Dot and I have endeavoured to do this in our lives, through our lives. We've tried to acknowledge him and he will direct our path. Now a week after we got married, this fellowship that sent this telegram, we actually moved out to Stoke as a married couple, and the Bourne Valley Christian Fellowship was up and down that valley, and they sent us that wedding telegram. And the following weekend they went to Wolverhampton to take a Sunday school anniversary, which sounds a bit strange, doesn't it? But they did. But that last service, an appeal was given and Dot went forward. She was a Sunday school teacher in her chapel, but she'd never known Jesus as her Lord and Saviour. Can you believe that? But that was true. She didn't know Jesus as her Lord and Saviour, although she was a Sunday school teacher. She went forward and accepted the Lord Jesus as her Lord and Saviour. So that was a great time up there at Wolverhampton. And then Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And then Psalm 31:15, my times are in his hands. That's a tremendous assurance, isn't it? My times are in his hands. And then Deuteronomy 33:27, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. These are but a few of the old treasures God has for us, and these and others have meant a lot to Dot and I. What new treasures are there? The last time I spoke, I shared what I believe was one of God's pattern, and that was, when we get saved, we receive the Holy Spirit. And then later, we get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I believe that's a pattern of God. Another pattern, also along the same lines, is this. That when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, we begin to speak in tongues. And I believe that's a pattern of God. It doesn't happen to everyone, but it does. It is a general thing that happens. When we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, we begin to speak in tongues. Normally, it's on our own, in your private time with the Lord. And the scriptures tell us the person who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. In other words, it builds himself up. Anyone can speak in tongues in church, but it must be at the most two or three with one interpreting. There must be an interpreter present, not a translator, an interpreter. The other Sunday morning at my daughter's church, instead of the leader starting with a hymn or a song, he had everyone speaking in tongues. Now my, what a way to start a service. Straight into the heavenlies. Incredible, isn't it? Can you understand that? Perhaps not. When at our fellowship some years ago, we were challenged about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I found I had a fear of speaking in tongues. Mind you, years before, I had preached against speaking in tongues. So no doubt that's why I had a fear. Anyway, the first time I had hands laid on me for being baptized in the Spirit, I wasn't. But, the fear of speaking in tongues had gone. That's how gracious God is. A little while later, we had Arthur Wallace come to our fellowship. Have you heard of Arthur Wallace? Anyway, he's the one that wrote the book, God's Chosen Fast. He ministered at our fellowship for the weekend. At the end of the weekend, he laid hands on a number of our fellowship for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then over the next few weeks or so, we began to speak in tongues. It happens. Tongues can be an actual human language, or it can be a heavenly language. Sorry if I'm talking a lot about tongues, but it's a hurdle that many had to have got over in the past, besides me. When we speak in tongues, it's the Holy Spirit speaking, but the person has control whether they speak in tongues or not. 1 Corinthians 12:14 gives clear instructions how the gifts of the Holy Spirit operate. 1 Corinthians 13 shows us that everything is to be done and said in love. These are new treasures out of God's storeroom that we can embrace. Let's just take a look at these gifts. They're in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 to 11. The gifts of the Spirit are these. Through the Spirit, the message of wisdom. Through the Spirit, the message of knowledge. Faith by the same Spirit. Healing by the same Spirit. Miraculous powers. Prophecy by the same Spirit. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit. And God gives this, I believe, to each person, just as he determines. I believe, are some of the new treasures God has for his people. If we choose to receive them and use them, and it's for God's glory and for the edifying and building up of the church. This is what God has for us. we have to embrace and take from God what he's willing to give us. And it can be inspiring.